Today, is the Bank of England broke and does it matter? Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, World Finance Post, covering finance and property news. Well, at the heart of central banking is an interesting conundrum, because of course the central bank, like the Bank of England, has a very interesting relationship with the Treasury. And in the time of crisis, the Treasury, which essentially is a government agency, issues bonds, and those bonds are then bought by the central bank, like the Bank of England, and that creates more liquidity. In other words, you create money out of nowhere. But of course, those bonds are worth something. And the value of those bonds vary based on the yields. And in recent times, well, the yields on bonds have gone really into ridiculous areas. So, at very least, you can say that the Bank of England, like other central banks, is a really weird entity in that it can create money if it wants to. We saw that through the quantitative easing programs, through which it acquired large portfolios of government bonds known in the UK as gilts. That program actually ran from 2009 to 2022 and was designed to improve financial conditions for companies hit by the 2008 financial crisis, and it saw the Bank of England accrue £895 billion worth of bond holdings while interest rates were historically low. However, the pace at which the central bank has had to tighten monetary policy in a bid to tame inflation means the costs have risen more sharply than anticipated. Higher rates have driven down the value of those purchased government bonds, just as the Bank of England began selling them at a loss because bond yields have changed significantly. Rising fast, of course, as prices fall. That is because yields and prices work in opposite directions. So the central bank began unwinding that position late last year, initially through halting reinvestments of maturing assets, and then by actively selling the bonds at a projected pace of £80 billion per year from October 2022. Now, both the Treasury and the Bank of England knew, when the asset purchase facility, the APF, was implemented, that its early profits, which got as high as £123 billion as of September last year, would become losses as interest rates rose. But now, according to Deutsche Bank, the Bank of England's losses on bonds bought to shore up the UK economy after the financial crisis will be, quote, materially higher than projected until the middle of the decade. So should we worry? Well, of course, the Bank of England has a pretty special arrangement with the UK government, because since 2009, it's promised the central bank that it would make good any losses it might suffer from QE, especially after it started sweeping any QE profits back to the Treasury in 2012. This indemnity kicked in last year, and since then money has flowed from Treasury to the bank. In July alone, the UK transferred £14.3 billion to the Bank of England. That's a chunky £5.4 billion more than what the Office for Budget Responsibility forecast as recently as March. In late July, the central bank estimated that it would require the UK Treasury to backstop around £150 billion of losses on its asset purchase facility. Now, a year ago, the government made its first £829 million payment to the Bank of England to compensate for those losses on its QE bond portfolio. But those payments now have topped £30 billion, and Deutsche Bank thinks they're going to get a lot bigger over the next year. Sanjay Raja, senior economist at Deutsche Bank, noted that a total of £30 billion are so far moved from the Treasury to the central bank since September, and the indemnities are likely to continue to run well above the government's forecasts for two reasons. First, interest rates have risen far above levels assumed in the fiscal watchdog spring forecast, and second, gilt prices have fallen further, particularly in the longer end of the curve, resulting in further valuation losses as the bank actively unwinds the APF through active gilt sales. The Bank of England, of course, has hiked rates at 14 consecutive monetary policy meetings, taking its benchmark interest rate from 0.1% in late 2021 to a 15-year high of 5.25%. And by the way, the market broadly expects a 15th hike to 5.5% at the next Monetary Policy Committee meeting. So bonds could go even worse. On one hand, QT loses money because the Treasury takes the Bank of England's losses when gilts are sold at a lower price than paid. This was expected. The Bank of England bought bonds in a falling rate environment due to disinflation, while success was to be defined by reinflation and so higher rates. But on the other hand, while QE gilts are not sold, the Bank of England pays bank rates on the £900 billion reserves it created to buy them. The higher bank rate rises, the more costly this interest expense becomes. And this could throw a wrench into the government's ability to offer public spending or tax cutting pledges ahead of a general election, which is slated for 2024. Any profits the Bank of England generates on printing banknotes or buying and selling bonds beyond its required capital buffers is passed to the Treasury to be repurposed for public spending. Deutsche Bank assessed both the net interest costs likely to be paid on central bank reserves and the deteriorating value of the APF bonds when the Bank of England crystallises the mark-to-market losses by selling them or redeeming them. And Raja concluded the cost of the Treasury of indemnifying the central bank over the next two fiscal years will be around £23 billion higher than the OBR forecast in March, coming in at about £48.7 billion for the current fiscal year and £38.1 billion next year, before falling sharply across the following 2 years as the bank rate falls and the overall size of the APF stock is depleted. Not only is inflation running higher than expected, the indemnity costs of the Bank of England's balance sheet operations will almost certainly be higher than what was expected only 5 months ago, Raja said, adding that this additional weight on the government's debt servicing bill will be reflected in Finance Minister Jeremy Hunt's autumn budget statement. The good news is that with government revenues running a lot stronger due to a stronger economy over the last few months, overall borrowing will still likely undershoot the OBR's forecast heading into the autumn fiscal statement, masking the ballooning cost of the bank's APF bill. But in the longer run, Deutsche Bank also expects the cost of reimbursing the Bank of England to fall sharply as interest rates are trimmed again and the QE portfolio shrinks. And they say, one, we expect bank rate to fall. Based on our own projections, we see bank rates settling at around 3% by the middle of the decade. This would significantly reduce the bank's net interest cost while also lowering its valuation losses as and when gilts are sold or redeemed. And two, the overall size of the bank's APF will be materially lower. At its peak, the APF weighed in at £875 billion. Should the bank continue to sell at £10 billion per quarter and allow all of the gilts to run off its balance sheet, as is currently the case, the size of the bank's balance sheet would shrink to around £750 billion by the fourth quarter of 2023, £661 billion by the fourth quarter 2024, £534 billion by the fourth quarter of 2025, and £431 billion by the fourth quarter of 2026. But stand back, because that is still quite a drag on the UK government's finances over the next few years, all because of an indemnity to guard the Bank of England against the optics of fiscal dominance. Now, some might ask, wouldn't it have been better just to let the Bank of England trundle along with theoretical negative equity? Or maybe it shows the stupidity of central bank monetary policy and the funny money it creates, and this weird, deadly embrace between Treasury and the Bank of England. Because essentially what it means is that the community is picking up the costs for really bad policy over a number of years. And at the end of the day, of course, it's real people who have to pay real money to pay back the funny money. And meantime, does it matter that the Bank of England is effectively in negative territory? Well, if it was a proper commercial entity, then yes, it would. But of course, it's not, as I've explained. It's backstopped by the Treasury, which means that the taxpayer is effectively picking up the bill. Weird, isn't it? Talk about funny money. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.